The mind didn't want to accept the idea that these had been real people, living human beings, only hours before the photographs had been taken. Or that in those hours prior to death, these people, this mother and two small children, had been subjected to unspeakable tortures, that they had experienced choking fear, that they had probably known they were going to die. If a person's mind allowed those realities to sink in, then it became too easy to hear the screams, to see the sheer terror in those now blank faces. It became too easy to see the events unfold like the worst kind of horror show. If a cop allowed that to happen, if he made a case like this one personal, if he allowed logic and procedure and a professional distance to be overrun by emotion and empathy and reaction, thereon lay the road to madness. A terrible feeling of foreboding lay like a stone in Kovac's gut as he climbed the basement stairs. This time, he took in everything as he went through the house. The kitchen was a mess. Cereal flakes were all over the counter, all over the floor, as if the box had exploded. Raisins were scattered throughout like rat turds. The milk carton had been overturned. Milk puddled on the counter and dripped over the edge. The cereal box looked to have been slashed several times with a knife. The countertop had received similar treatment, multiple stab wounds. The knife was not in sight, but there was some blood. Stan Dempsey lost his mind in this room, Kovac thought as he looked around at the chaos. A small television sat on the counter. The local news was running, but the sound was off. Carl Dahl's mugshot and his physical description were up on the screen. Considered extremely dangerous. Do not attempt to approach. Call 911. Kovac moved into the dining room. From the dining room, he could see the living room, which was also trashed. The old brown couch had been shot to death. A floor lamp had been knocked over. The coffee table had been overturned. What the hell went on here? Kovac briefly considered the notion of an intruder, but the house had been locked up tight. No, this was Stan Dempsey's rage. This was what had been building inside that homely, quiet, strange man in the months since Stan Dempsey had been called out on a triple homicide, one stormy night in August a year past. The array of weapons laid out on the dining room table was impressive. Shotguns, a deer rifle, several handguns, some that appeared to be World War II vintage, knives of various lengths and blades, an old leather sap, a leather sack filled with sand or buckshot. Coppers used to carry them in the old days before the Miranda rules had come down. A smack behind the ear could take down a big guy instantly if it was done right. Nobody carried them anymore, not legally anyway. And lined up neatly in a row above the weapons, medals, a purple heart, a bronze star, several commendations from the police department, all laid out on display as if Stan had fully expected people to come into his home. These were the things he had wanted seen, the awards that had marked his life into segments, the army, war, the police department. On the buffet behind the table stood a couple of framed photographs. Stan in a bad suit from the 70s and a too wide tie. Standing beside him, a homely woman with beauty parlor blonde hair teased and sprayed into a sheer helmet circling her head. A girl of maybe 5 or 6 sitting in front of them, the only one smiling, a black hole where one front tooth had been. The family. Kovac hadn't known Dempsey had ever been married. It was difficult to picture. He had seen no evidence of a woman living in the house, no clothes in the closets, no woman's stuff on the dresser or nightstand. The wife was gone, by either divorce or death. The little girl was grown and long gone by now. Finally, with a sense of dread heavy in his chest, Kovac looked at the video camera perched on its tripod, pointing at the lone chair pulled out from the table. He stepped behind it, looking how to turn the thing from record to VCR.